Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right, so if you guys would, please go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're just going to take a couple minutes today. This is not going to be a full sermon. I just want to take a couple of minutes today to look at some scripture. And what I want to do is show you one of the things that I've seen over the past 2 months and kind of dive into that and just get us some of the word in addition to our fellowship and our worship and our rejoicing in song. One of the things I've seen a lot in the last couple of months with COVID-19 especially, and the different states choosing to do different things to try to curb all that, and then what started up the last week and a half as well, in terms of the protests and different things, I've seen a lot of Christians fighting and tearing each other apart over what's right, over what's wrong, and over how they think we should respond and react to the wrongs going on in the world around us. Now, we should be having the discussions. We should, and I've had many discussions with many of you about some of those things. And they've been great discussions. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's been some active fighting among the body of Christ throughout the country over some of these things going on. And my point is not going to be that we're going to declare that one way was clearly right or one way is clearly wrong. I'm not here to say one method or one decision or one reaction is clearly right or clearly wrong. I think especially in terms of how we handled the shelter in place and different things like that among churches, I think there's a lot of leeway for Christian liberty in there. But with the passage that I'm going to share this morning, what I want us to see is that in all times, in all circumstances, and in all situations, that we are to model Christ-likeness to all people. And it's easy to forget that as Christians, we are held to a higher standard than what the world adheres to. And actually, kind of the point is that we're all held to the same standard. We all miss that standard, but we are aware of that standard and we strive to meet that standard. We acknowledge the eternal truth and the reality of those standards, whereas non-Christians don't recognize the authority that God has that God has and has set the standard that has authority. We are not held to the standard of the world. We are not held to the standard of society and culture. We are not even held to good standards such as what America is and the Constitution. We are held to higher standards than that. We are held we are called to die to ourselves daily, and we are called to bear our crosses. We are called not to respond to people and groups in the same way that they talk to us or how they act to us or how they treat us. We are called to the standard of Christ's righteousness. This is a foreign concept to much of the world. This is a concept born of the flesh, that the prevailing instinct is to treat others how they are going to treat you, often before they get a chance to treat you that way. That's what our natural fleshly instinct tends to be. And what isn't understood a lot amongst non-Christians, and what actually is not understood a lot amongst many Christians, every single life, every single human being is born in the image and likeness of Christ. That's easy to affirm just right on that sentence, but then we go deeper than that. What does that look like? That means that goes for Americans and non-Americans. That means that goes for Democrats and Republicans. That means that goes for Christians and Muslims and atheists. This goes for liberals and conservatives. It goes for black, white, brown, red, yellow, chartreuse, everyone. All human beings born are born in the image and likeness of Christ. That is the entire basis, the entire foundation of our pro-life position. So if we don't affirm that, then we don't have any right to say anything about abortion. Now, born in the image and likeness does not equal a child of God. That's a distinction that the Bible makes. It does not mean that we are all saved. That is reserved for those who have repented of their sins and trusted in Christ. But we are not called only to be nice to and to treat well other Christians. We are called to treat every single human being in this world with the same dignity and respect that we want others to treat us with. And the Bible does not give us any exceptions. We are to remember that our battle, our war, is not with flesh and blood, but is in the spiritual realm against powers and principalities. So our text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. And Paul writes, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. So this passage starts with Paul showing that our duty is to treat others around us with Christ's spiritual standards, as opposed to the world's physical fleshly standards. We used to live and believe in and act according to those standards, and we are born into those actions and those beliefs. But God. Remember, we talk often what I consider one of the greatest truths of the Bible, but God. We have our sin-filled lives and existence, and we can do nothing to change that, but God. Through his grace alone, delivered through our faith alone in his Son, Jesus Christ alone changes us, and it brings us out from death to life. It changes us from the inside out. It changes our identity, and it changes our nature. We are then new creations. We are now reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And once we are reconciled to him, once we are new creations, the old identity is gone. Though habits and temptations and actions may still remain at times. Charles Spurgeon, in one of his devotions, says, "In every believer's heart, there is a constant struggle between the old nature and the new. The old nature is very active and loses no opportunity of employing all the weapons in its deadly arsenal against newborn grace. While on the other hand, the new nature is always on the lookout to resist and destroy its enemy." When we are new creations in Christ, the change in us should be clear and noticeable. It doesn't always show on the outside instantly. And I know that we can all testify to our actions as new believers have grown in our walk with Christ. And the times we give in to temptations earlier in our walk are less than we give in to temptations as we grow in our walk. So that's the good news. That change should be clear and noticeable. And when that happens, we have one job. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. We are to be ambassadors on behalf of the kingdom of God. We speak and we share the official position and the official view of the kingdom of heaven. Not what we want the official view to be, not what we think it might be or should be, but we are a conduit. We are to funnel the word of God to the people who need to hear it. We present and announce what our King has already decreed. We do not make laws. We do not determine official positions. We share Christ and Christ crucified. We preach the word. We love the people. We fulfill the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that Christ has commanded. Jesus Christ is our King. He is reigning today, here and now. He is not waiting to reign. He reigns now, and he will reign forever. There's no waiting for tomorrow. Christ as King, and He will be our Savior if God's grace, by God's grace, if we put our faith in His Son. A couple of scriptures that just this naturally brought me to, again, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Timothy, there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus says at the beginning of His ministry in Mark, repent and believe in the gospel. Romans 10:17, that you guys I know are getting sick of me quoting. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. These are the words of Christ written down in the Bible. The one that you hold in your hand that is accessible to so many of us. So many more now than ever in history. He is our King and He is our Savior. We literally owe our eternal life to Him. He does this free and clear. Nothing we can do to earn it or to influence it or to cause it or to bring it to bear. Jesus does, however, tell us after we are saved that we have certain responsibilities. Top of that list, and I think it sums up everything underneath it, we are to be ambassadors of Christ. And by all that that means, and I encourage you as we go forward this week to reflect on that. What does it mean to be an ambassador? What does it mean to be a conduit for God's word to flow through you to the people that need it? What does that mean? It means, well, I've shared a lot of what that means. But again, it's not our opinion. It's not our thoughts. It's not our views. It's what does Christ say? That is our position. That is what we are to bring to bear to those around us and the world around us. Part of what I want to encourage you to reflect on in that, how are we supposed to act? Is what we have is it how we have always been taught to act, or is it more complex and nuanced than that? How influenced are we by our family, by our society, by our culture and our nation, by our history? How much of it's influenced by our morality, and how much of it is influenced by the Bible itself? How much of our actions are inspired by the written and inerrant and inspired and sufficient word of our King? How much of our actions and how we treat each other, how we act, is inspired by God Himself, creator of heaven and earth, creator of the universe, and the ultimate authority, the only one who gets to say, this is how we are to act. That's what I want you guys to reflect on this week is what does it mean to be an ambassador, and how are we supposed to act in that role, and where are we learning that from? Are we learning it from outside, or are we learning it from His word? Now, speaking of Jesus as our King, He was more than that as well. He condescended from heaven, still God. He was born a man, a human baby. And He lived the perfect sinless life that we needed to and that we were unable to live. He paid the penalty. He paid the wages of our sins so that we could be reconciled to God. And He paid that penalty with His life. In an act of pure, perfect love, Romans 5:8 says, but God showed His love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This act of pure love goes beyond natural human understanding. I love the hymn writer Charles Wesley. He wrote, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? So it's beyond our imagination what this truly, truly looks like. And before He performed this act, Jesus told us to remember this. He told us to celebrate this as often as we get together. We do this on a monthly basis on the first Sunday of the month, and we were going to do it today no matter what Sunday it was, just as part of that getting back together as a family. We are going to be celebrating communion this morning. We remember and we follow the commands of Jesus that He gave the disciples during the Last Supper. Matthew records, Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29, where he writes, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples. He said, take, eat. This is my body. And He took a cup. And when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So we do this in remembrance of him. Paul speaks about communion in 1 Corinthians 11, and before we actually get into that, one of the things that Paul says, you hear me say this every time we do communion, is that communion is for believers in Christ. It is in remembrance for what he has done for us. It is us obeying his command by our faith in him. Communion does not save. It does not forgive sins. It does not impart righteousness or cleanse our souls. So if you are not a follower of Christ, we just ask that you continue passing the things along. If you have any questions on that or want to take that next step, please talk to me, myself, or one of the deacons afterwards. Things are going to be a little bit different this morning. Again, due to taking those precautions, we have individually packaged juice and wafers that we will be passing out. The wafers, which symbolize Jesus' broken body on the cross, his death that pays the penalty for our sins, and it also contains the juice, symbolizing the shed blood of Christ, which purchases our eternal life in Christ through faith. So once we get those passed out, we'll take the wafer together, and afterwards we will take the juice together, and we will be united together under the cross and blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray, and then we will go ahead and celebrate communion. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that you have imparted in your word that we get to look at as not only our saving faith, but as instructional to how we act afterwards. Thank you for sending your son to die for us. Thank you for changing our hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your justice and your mercy side by side. Thank you that you have given us that mercy. Lord, I pray that you help us to continue to celebrate our time together as a family, worshiping you. I pray that this would be a time that is honoring to you. And Lord, I thank you for allowing us to get together once again to celebrate you and who you are. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to CaseyHolenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at CaseyHolenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.